Welcome to the What You Missed podcast, where we talk, debate, and sometimes even argue, but overall let you know what you missed. Thank you so much for joining us on our first episode. My name is Andrew, and I'm here with my co-host, Anson. This week's episode is all about college football playoff predictions. Before we begin, this episode is based off of stats and rankings released on or by Friday, November 22nd.
Yes, thank you all so much for joining us. I'm so happy to just be able to do this. It's sort of been a dream for me just to be able to talk about sports I love, and especially football. Football's always been one of my favorite sports, and I'm so excited to get started, so let's dive right in.
Okay, so the first topic, we're just going to throw you right in there. The first topic we have is we're just going to introduce the top 12, give you our opinions, what we think about each team. Do we think this team has proved themselves? Do we think they need to show us more? What do we think, and do we just agree with the overall rankings? So we're just going to present them one by one, and we're just going to shoot it over to Anson with the first team.
Yeah, number one, starting with 11-0 Oregon, and number one in the Big Ten. Dylan Gabriel is a really dangerous lefty this year, 3,066 yards, and has done a really good job, sixth year in college. Some call him super senior. But their coach, Dan Lanning, has also done a really good job coming over from being the defensive coordinator at UGA. It really helped his team out, and they have really, really big potential. I mean, I think they can go a long way in the future. They can go a long way in this playoffs, and you can see their recruiting class is getting better and better and better.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Oregon has really impressed me. I think that 11-0, I think that they might should have been dethroned from that that spot because of Ohio State, which we'll talk about just in a second. But I think Oregon's been a really good team. They've really shown me what they can do with the ball, and I've been really impressed by them.
Mm-hmm, I agree with that.
Number two, we have Ohio State, led by Will Howard. Their only loss is to Oregon by one, like I mentioned. They should have beat Oregon, but Will Howard happened to slide a little too late before they could get the kickoff of. And so it was just really sad to see. Ohio State, in my opinion, should be the number one team if that happens. And Oregon would be number two or maybe a little lower than that. But I think it was just really sad to see. But I think they've really proved themselves, been really good on both sides of the ball. Both sides have impressed me a lot. They've just been really, really able to get those points and just make large margins away from the teams they're playing. I'm really excited. Next matchup is versus Indiana, which we'll get into later. Really get excited to see that game and how it's going to play out, who's just going to be on top from that game. And then we got November 30th versus Michigan. I think they should win that easily. So if they do beat Indiana, I think they are definitely a playoff lock. I think they're already a playoff lock, even if they do lose that game. But I'm really excited to see how that game plays out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think definitely for Will Howard in general, that's going to feel so rough just on him. I think he's really hard. He came over from Kansas State last year, and I know that's really hard to be able to be in a new conference and then lose the biggest game of your career. And it really doesn't help that Oregon did storm the field after that, and that's just even harder. I mean, like, you're just getting surrounded by fans of the opposite field, and you know you sold the game to your whole team, and you know that it was your fault, and you have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah, but I think it's been really good how he's been able to bounce back from that.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's done a really good job at Ohio State, and I think he will do good in the future. Number three is the Texas Longhorns, who are 9-1. At their only loss coming to Georgia by a few points, but they did a good comeback there. They were really shaky in the beginning. But Quinn Ewers has done a really good job with this team. And really, who doesn't like a team with a great backup quarterback and that has great hair? I mean, like, I've always loved Texas. Texas has always been one of my definitely favorite teams. And I think they go way beyond the SEC. I think they win the SEC championship. But I think they're going to go beyond the SEC championship. I think that Texas has a chance to win the national championship with the first year of the 12-round playoffs, the 12-team playoffs. And I really do think Texas has a good chance. They have what they need. Isaiah Bond coming over from Alabama has done a really good job in giving somebody for Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning to actually throw to. And I think this has done a really good job this year. Quinn Ewers has over 1,000 passing yards this season, but I don't believe he is at 2,000 yet. But that's only because he was hurt for a few years, and Arch did get to play a little bit more than you would have expected this year. But he's done a really good job. They both have. It's really good to have two good backup quarterbacks because, you know, especially with Quinn Ewers, who has been hurt in the past, getting hurt again, it's good to have a backup quarterback like that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Texas is a really strong team. And that loss to UGA was kind of hard, but I think they've definitely proven themselves to me. I think they're a really good, well-rounded team. I definitely agree with you. I think they'll definitely go beyond the SEC championship, and I can even see them as a national championship contender, if not the winner of the national championship. So I'm really excited to see what they do. Next up, we have number four, Penn State. I've been really impressed by them. The only thing I see differently is I've been impressed, but I haven't been too impressed. Like, this is – Penn State is always ranked in my eyes. They're usually always ranked. But I haven't seen what I've seen from Penn State from a lot of other standpoints. Like, the past couple of years, Penn State has been pretty dominant. Now, they haven't won. They've been pretty good. But they've just really had a decent offense and defense. Their only losses to Ohio State, which puts them in that number four spot because they've lost to somebody who was so high up. But they had really close goals against Bowling Green and the USC Trojans, two unranked teams. And so that really surprised me. I don't think they're going to have a problem with their next two matchups, unranked Minnesota and unranked Maryland. But I do see that they might not go far. I want to see their potential. But I think just seeing from those Bowling Green and USC close calls, I just want to see if they're really going to be able to do something there or if they're going to be a quick out in the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The Ohio State game was rough. Their only touchdown was a defensive pick six. So not scoring one offensive touchdown, that game was really hard for them. And, you know, you can't win a national championship without scoring an offensive touchdown. Like, it's just not going to happen. A lot of people have said, like, you can't win an offense without – well, you can't win a national championship without a good offense. And it's really the offense that people think – I do think the defense has, like, a big part of the play, obviously. They do have to stop the other team if they are going to win. But really, you need to be able to have a good offense, and Penn State doesn't really have that. But they do have great wideouts.
Their white
jerseys are some of the cleanest in the league, except for I do really love San Diego State's jerseys.
Yeah, they're really
those
good.
Those are really good jerseys. But Penn State definitely on my top jersey list.
Yeah.
Might not be on the top offensive list, but on my jersey list.
Sounds good.
Number five, you have the Indiana Hoosiers, who are 10-0, and this is their best season ever. Never before ranked this high. I was really surprised at them coming into the season. Never would have expected them being ranked, especially inside the top five.
Yeah.
And 10-0. I mean, they're doing a really good job. But Curtis Ryoke, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but he's only thrown four interceptions this year. And I think that's really impressive, especially for a QB like Carson Beck, who is not expected to throw that many. He was almost expected to throw the highest, and he's thrown over 10. And that's a lot, and this guy's only come out and throw four, and I've been really surprised about their season. Like, I couldn't name one player from Indiana before the season. And I'm going in this year, and now I'm seeing them inside the top five, 10-0, best season, like I said, best season ever as a team, never done this well. And they have a chance now to go beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
And that's, like, really, really big. Like, really, really big. And I mean, like, I'm really, really impressed with their season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wouldn't have been able to name a player. But I think they've really been able to prove themselves. I'm really excited to see them face number two Ohio State, really see what they can do. And I'm just excited to see that game for a number of reasons, just that both teams can prove what they can do. I know Ohio State has had more chances to prove that they are a team that deserves that number two spot. But I just want to see what each team will do. I think it's going to be a great match, and I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
Next up is number six, Notre Dame. They have been really great defensively. It's really impressed me. They're winning by significant margins. Their passing game isn't great. They're heavily reliant on their run game. And so that could arouse problems later on. They do have wide receivers. They're just not getting the ball as much as they would want. I've been really impressed by Riley Leonard's scrambling abilities. He has a lot of rushing yards under his belt. Just because he's able to get out of that pocket and just scramble away on poor defenses. I was really surprised at their loss to Northern Illinois. I don't know what happened there. They did not bring their A game, not their B game, maybe not even their C game. I just didn't see it from Notre Dame, and it wasn't the Notre Dame that I knew and loved. And so I was just really confused by that. Their next matchup versus Army could cause some problems as they're a ranked team, but I think I think Army will definitely put up a fight, but I think they're going to win that, and they have USC on November 30th, which they should win.
Yeah, I agree with that. Notre Dame's done a really good job this year. Number seven is Alabama, who are 8-2, and this might sound crazy, but I was really surprised with Alabama this season. Actually, be doing this well. This is their first year without seven-time national champion Nick Saban, and I was really surprised with how Keelan DeBoer's done coming over from Washington while he was in the national championship last year versus Michigan. But I think he's done a really good job there, especially for his first year there. I know he lost a lot of players because a lot of people were sort of like, I mean, no Nick Saban, no playing for him. I know, like, I would. I mean, if I was for him at Alabama and then the greatest coach ever left,
I
would leave too. I'd go find someone who's even played, who coached under him or coached with someone under him, like Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning, you can almost call his grandpa would be Nick Saban, right? Because Dan Lanning played under Kirby Smart, which played under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And so it's all sort of coming down in a line and getting the teaching. So you would want to go somewhere there who actually has big potential more than Alabama, but I think Kellen DeBoer's done a really good job there, and so is Joe Milroe. Joe Milroe has done a really good job with his legs and his arm, and I think that's something you're definitely going to need in this day and age. And I just really, I think Alabama's done a great job this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you can really tell how Jalen Milroe is really being a leader there. I think Nick Saban has instilled that leadership in him. And I think they just continued that going. Even on the leadership of DeBoer, I think it's just really cool to see how they didn't let that stop them. And I know it stopped their recruiting a little bit as people, like you said, didn't want to play Alabama if there was no Nick Saban. But I think they've done a really good job with the assets they have. I think they've been really good just overall. And just bouncing back, even without Nick Saban, he's such a valuable guy. It meant so much to all those players. And so I think being able to just to prove to the world that we don't need Nick Saban. Nick Saban was amazing, but we don't need him in order to succeed. It's just been really good for them.
Yeah. I'll say Nick Saban and Pat McCaffrey on game day is absolutely awesome, though. I think that's a ton of fun for them to be around each other. You can still see some of Nick Saban's just hype around the game of football. It's really good because I think a lot of people are really excited to see him leave.
But yeah,
also for him to still be interacted in the game, it's just so awesome to be able to see someone who loves football so much still being interacted in it, even though he's retired.
Yeah. Next up, we have number 8, Miami, led by Cam Ward, Heisman candidate. And for me, Miami is not a team who has really proven themselves yet.
I agree with that.
I think one of those reasons is that loss to Georgia Tech. I know Georgia Tech is a feisty, scrappy team, but I did not see that happening at all. I know Georgia Tech can sometimes pull one on you because sometimes they're not regarded as the greatest team. But their defense, just all around, throughout the entire season, has struggled.
Right.
But I think it's just they have not proven themselves to me yet. And so I really just need to see what they can do in this playoffs to really get a good look at, is Miami going to be a good team? They have a good offense. Their run and pass game is pretty good. But I'm just not seeing it from that defense, and I think that's what made them struggle against Georgia Tech. They're not really putting those hard games on the roster. I think it's hard to see, and we'll talk about that later, but they're not really putting those hard games on their roster, and so without those hard games, they really haven't proven themselves to me. I haven't seen them go up against good defenses, and so their offense has really thrived, but that's probably why. And so I just want to see what they can do. Their next matchups should be easy, and they should be a playoff lock. They're currently projected to get the first round bye, and so we'll just have to see what they do. Them, like Penn State, are a team I want to see prove themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. Cam Ward's doing a really good job, though, there. He has more passing yards than the last 5 Heisman winners, and so he definitely deserves Heisman and definitely deserves a running, but I think he's also carrying that team. I think without, we've seen it in the past, without a good quarterback, who really are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you need a good quarterback. We saw it with FSU last year. Without a good quarterback for FSU, they didn't make the playoffs. And I think that this is really, really important. You need a good quarterback because I think a lot of people see the quarterback as the person who carries the team, the person who has the team on their shoulders. And I think they can really use what they have just in general with what they have with Cam Ward. They really need that, and they can't lose that in the future.
Yeah.
So I think they very much could use that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think if Miami does lose Cam Ward, I think they might be stranded. I really don't think their offense has really stood out besides him.
Right, and we saw this with FSU. They're sort of in the same boat. I mean, without a good quarterback this year, FSU has 10 losses or more. I mean, not 10 losses, but they might be on the track to get to 10 losses. They're really close. I don't necessarily know the record, but they definitely are very close to 10 losses. But I think they're definitely in the same boat. I mean, Miami need to be able to keep a good quarterback, keep a recruiting class that will actually do good, and be able to see what I would like to see what they have in the future. But I think Cam Ward and Miami definitely have a chance.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But yeah, I think Cam Ward is definitely a big part of that team, and I think losing them would really affect them. Kind of like you said with the Florida State example. But yeah, I think it'd be really tragic if they lost him. And so I think he just needs to continue what he's doing and try to help that team out.
Yeah, I agree. Number nine is the Ole Miss Rebels, who are 8-2, and they have a big offense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, biggest offense, I would say one in the league. They also brought in 25 players from the portal.
Wow.
But Jackson Dart, who is actually not brought in from the portal, he's the QB for that team, and he's done a great job this year. Mm-hmm. He had a great game versus Georgia to be able to win that, to keep them alive for their playoff chances, because most likely a three-loss team won't make it. Mm-hmm. But he also had 6 touchdown passes in the game versus Arkansas. And that's tied for an SEC record most of the game. And I love seeing records. I love seeing records broken, records tied, anything like records. I've always been wanting to see like records in my lifetime. I don't care if my team wins or my team loses. Like, records are just really cool to me, and I don't care who it is. If I hate the team, love the team, I want to see records. And I think that's what we've been able to see at Ole Miss. And then, once again, just on Jackson Dart, this is what the NFL wants to see. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, who have the ability to throw the ball, mm-hmm. and also have the ability to run. We saw it with Anthony Richardson with the Colts. I was really shocked when they picked Anthony Richardson. I was really, really shocked, because I didn't understand how you could pick a Florida quarterback who hadn't even done that good. Florida wasn't even that great that year. I don't even recall them being ranked. Yeah. I mean, they might have been, but I don't recall. So, I mean, they definitely weren't on the top list for that season, but I think this is sort of what people need. Mm-hmm. Someone like Jackson Dart, someone like Jalen Milroe, somebody that can run, like Patty Mahomes, somebody like that. But I think this is really good. I mean, we saw this could be a really good use for somebody like the Giants, who just dropped Daniel Jones today from the roster. I think this is a really big opportunity for multiple people to think, and I think this is what you need. This is starting to become the new age of college football.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think, yeah, you see it like with people like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, people who can just run out of that pocket, scramble if they need to, but guys who are really good at creating that throwing lane and just really good at being able to just do what they do best. And I think that, like you said, that's that new age of football where you want a versatile quarterback who's able to run, who has good legs, who's able to get out of that pocket, make that throwing lane, make sure they're going to get that pass and not let that that defensive line get to them. And so, yeah, I would agree. I think looking forward, I think Jackson Dart could be a good draft pick for somebody, like you said, the Giants, where they just dropped Daniel Jones today. And so I think that's, yeah, I think it's just something you have to see out. And so, but yeah, I agree. Then that's kind of the new era. And I'm excited about the Ole Miss Rebels. And number 10, we have the Georgia Bulldogs. I really like their defense. It's been pretty positive. C.J. Allen is a great linebacker. Created a lot of interceptions. And so I think they've done pretty good. Their offense has struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially in that what I like to call the Carson Beck 2-week disaster, where that was 6 picks in 2 games. I'm just trying to see where it's kind of going to go. I think the loss to Alabama could exempt them from the SEC championship. We'll just have to see how that plays out. They're playing UMass. We'll just have to see how that is. Should be crushing them. And then Georgia Tech.
42-point favorite.
That's going to be rough for UMass. But then we'll see them play Georgia Tech. Should beat them again unless they fall out like Miami did. But they definitely should beat that Georgia Tech team.
I would say Georgia's done a really good job this year. As a Georgia fan, I am a Georgia fan. Carson Beck, I was really depressed with him all year. Look, I don't like Carson Beck right now. I mean, like, he's just making me really frustrated after seeing last year. It was said this year, they showed a stat at one of the earlier games this year, and it was saying, like, Carson Beck's things that he wants to do. And he was like, win the national championship, win the Heisman, and go very first pick in the 2025 NFL draft. I don't think he's going to do any of those at this point. I mean, look, I hope he wins the national championship, but I just don't see it. I mean, it also doesn't help. He had a great day at Tennessee. He did really good there, but they also have the most drops in the FBS with 27, and that just doesn't look good for Georgia and the whole team. But he did a really good job versus Tennessee, and like Alabama and Ole Miss, I think, and like he did at Tennessee, he would have a chance to beat Alabama and Ole Miss. Maybe not Ole Miss, but I think definitely Alabama. They definitely came back And I think that's what they need versus the rest of the team this year and even the playoffs when they make it. Because I do think they'll make it. They have one of the hardest schedules in the FBS, and so I do think they'll make it.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a little bit before when we were doing the research for this. But I think it is hard to lose guys that Carson Beck had, like Ladd McConkey, Brock Bowers. And that was really hard. And I think he underestimated his ability just a little bit. I still do think he's a good quarterback. I think he has his off weeks. And I am excited to see where he goes in the draft. But I do see what you mean about Carson Beck. Definitely that two-week span where he threw six interceptions was rough. But I just want to see what he can do. But I think he has, given the tools he has in his offense, I think he's done a pretty decent job in what he's been able to do because you don't have those wide receivers and those tight ends like he used to.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it really does all add up in the end. Yeah. I mean, we really see this. We see this from a lot of different people, and I think it really does add up, and I think Carson Beck almost overestimated himself.
Yeah,
I think he was more of the guy who could just throw it, and really where you could lob. But we saw some amazing plays last year from Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. I think he really just didn't understand how good they were.
Yeah.
And I think he underestimated them, and then he overestimated himself.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of it, and the confidence part of it is a big part of it too, because he really thought he had a lot of confidence, and when you have 2 months confidence, you can do bad, but then you also need the confidence. So it's hard. I think that's one of the harder things about football too, is you have to level the confidence.
Yeah,
I mean, find
that balance.
You can't have too much, but you need to be able to find where you're going to be able to good, but where it won't also affect you.
I agree with that.
Number 11, you have Tennessee and Nico Amaliala. I really like Nico Amaliala. I apologize if I'm saying his name wrong. It's a really fun name to say, Amaliala.
It's hard to say, man.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
Nico Amaliala. But he's done a great job. This is a sensational year. This is his first year in the league, and he has been really, really good. And their defense, Tennessee's defense, has also done really, really great.
Absolutely.
Every team this year, except for Georgia, 20 points under for 10 games in a row. That's the most in FBS history. Like I said, I love history, and so I was really proud to see Tennessee do that. And they're 8-2 in the year, and losses coming to Georgia and Arkansas. But I think they've still done a really good job this year beating Alabama and having wins like that can help them and boost them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got that. Rounding out the top 12, we have number 12, Boise State. I've been impressed by them. I haven't seen too much of them. Hasn't really been a spotlight on them. But they are projected that first round in the playoffs. That is because there is no one in the Big 12.
Correct.
There's no one in the Big 12 above that Boise State team. And so that would give that,
The Mountain West Conference.
The Mountain West Conference. That would give that Mountain West Conference that bye.
Right.
And so that Mountain West championship, whoever would win that would get the bye. If no Big 12 team surpasses Boise State.
Correct. It would be the SEC, the ACC, the Big 10, and the Mountain West Conference right now.
Yes, that's who would get the bye. So currently they are projected to get that bye, which would be really good for them.
They need
They need that bye in order to just surpass. I've been really impressed. I have seen a lot of clips of Ashton JT.
I agree.
In one word, spectacular. I'm a little worried. I mean, it's rightfully so that they're relying on their run game. But that could arouse problems as they're going to be facing better and better defenses as they move into the playoffs. If the other thing that worries me is if that Big 12 team passes them, they could be in a division that doesn't receive that first-round bye, so that worries me a little bit for Boise State. We'll just see how it plays out. They should beat their next two matchups, big favorites against Wyoming and Oregon State. And so they should win those both of those games. And so I see them being definitely a playoff contender, if not in the playoffs. And I'm just excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, I agree. Ashton JT, he's a big Heisman threat with 26 touchdowns, and he's done a really good W3. That's a lot for a running back, especially through
definitely.
The amount of games you have in college. You don't have as many as you would. And in the NFL, when people have more than that, but then that 26 touchdowns is a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of touchdowns, and you're not even done with the season yet. You have a very good threat. He's a big Heisman threat, too. I think he has a good chance to win. And I really love Boise State. Their field really cool. They have a really cool field.
Yeah.
And I really love that about some of the teams that have the field like that. But I do think that Boise State, they might not. Yeah, I agree with you. Like you said, they gotta work on the passing game, and sure they have it. But then you see 26 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Out of the running back, I mean, sure, it could be some passes thrown to him, but still, most of them are going to be running because that's sort of what running backs do. That's what they run for a living. But I do think they're going to have to improve on their defense, offense, and maybe a little bit more to go all the way.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what they can do. So that's going to end. That's going to run it out for our top 12. And so we've created a couple of questions that we want to ask the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, my first question for you is, what is your opinion on SMU and the condition of the ACC?
Ooh, that's a good question. The ACC. SMU is in the lead.
Yes.
SMU is a very interesting team right now. First in the league, first year ever in the ACC, and that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to come into a conference that is getting a bye, and then having a chance to be able to take that bye is really big, especially for an SMU team.
Definitely.
Like that, I don't think there's any way they don't make the ACC championship playing Virginia and Cal, who are both still fighting for bye opportunity. Oh, not bye, bowl game opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do that. But then one thing just about the condition of the ACC is Clemson, who has won 21 times, most likely won't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, they've won the ACC championship 21 times. And this is just crazy to me, and I just don't like how they want to make it, because Clemson put Georgia on the very first game of the schedule. They lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't score 3 points. That looks really bad. But still, you have Miami. They're 7-1 in the ACC. Miami, if they win out, will be 7-1 in the ACC. And that just makes me frustrated. Is that because the ACC?
Mm-hmm.
I think, well, let me back this up a little bit. The ACC, every division needs to be like the college football committee.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to vote teams in, and the people, the leader in that conference, need to be able to vote teams in who they think should get into the ACC championship or the SEC championship, etc. Because it's just not fair for someone to put a hard team in the schedule like Georgia when Miami is over here with their hardest game versus Florida.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make sense. And then they go out, lose to Georgia Tech. And this is just really frustrating. It's really frustrating for those. This is frustrating for me. Like, this is very frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really hard because, like I said, Miami has not proven myself to them. Sure, the Florida Gators went out and beat LSU. That shocked me. And so, but beating that Florida Gator team does not impress me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put so many easy games on their schedule. That's why they haven't proven themselves to me.
Exactly.
Because they haven't played good defenses.
Exactly.
And so you're able to run and pass on these bad defenses. And so that's why their run and pass game has been so great. I want to see them play a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
We watched them play a good defense the very first game of the year, and they haven't played anybody good since.
Exactly.
And they're not going to get that in the next game versus Wake Forest, maybe Syracuse, but really not a great defense from Syracuse.
I mean, I would argue Florida isn't even that good of a team.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm sure they have one of the hardest schedules in the FBS, but still, like, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and so I don't think they're that great of a team. And so I want to see that Miami team play somebody better. And so, yes, that does make me mad because I want to see Clemson putting hard games on their schedule. They're playing hard teams. Hardest team they played was Georgia. That's a hard game. I want to see Miami play Georgia and see what they can do, because Miami has just not proven themselves to me.
Exactly. They had a really close game versus Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech going out, and almost Georgia Tech did win.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech almost won. And I think that this is really what we want to be able to see out of Miami. We want to see a bigger leads,
definitely.
more offense than they have. They have a great quarterback, but we need to be able to see more than just Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Miami, the face of Miami doesn't need to be Cam Ward. The face of Miami needs to be Miami's offense, Miami's defense. It doesn't need to be one player.
Mm-hmm.
One player carrying the team on his shoulders, it needs to be a whole team.
100%.
Lifting each other up and being able to go out there and everyone doing it for what they need. And I think that's really big. And I think it's really frustrating because Clemson really needs this. Clemson needs a win in the ACC. They still have Dabo Swinney. He's been a really good coach in the past, and I don't know how much longer he has, but I would expect not too much longer.
Yeah.
But I think a really good thing this would help Clemson's recruiting game is being able to get back inside the top 10.
100%.
They've sort of just been middle the rest of the year. And we, like, it's not the rest of the year, but it's like for years past. I mean, and they're probably going to be middle for the rest of this year. Unless they somehow make it into the ACC championship, which I just don't see them doing, because Miami will most likely win out. They're playing Syracuse and
Wake Forest.
And I just don't think I'm see Miami losing one of those games. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. We've seen them struggle in the past, but I don't think they have a chance.
No. Yeah, and that makes me mad because I want to see Clemson thrive because I just think what they've done is great.
Right. And what do you think about SMU, really? I think your insights on that.
So SMU, they're definitely a fun team to watch. I think, like Miami, they haven't proved themselves.
Right.
But at the same time, they've just played some bad ACC teams.
Right.
And so that hasn't really proved themselves to me. They've been beating ACC teams in their first time, their first year in the ACC, which is surprising and which is good. But I just want to see more out of them. I haven't really gotten to see a whole lot from them. I know that what they've done is great, and they've just been a really good team. And I know they're on the cusp of being in that playoffs. But I just want to see them. I just want to see what they can do more than what I've seen.
Yeah. Fun fact, by the way. Did you know SMU wasn't? They had an elephant as their team mascot last year.
Did they really?
No, I'm lying to you.
Oh.
I'm 100% lying to you.
So it wasn't an elephant.
No, it's always been a Mustang.
Oh, it's always been a Mustang. Okay.
Yeah, I lied.
Well,
to
good
you.
To know. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they never changed it. Yeah, that'd be funny though. Every time someone changes division, they have to change their mascot. And they're like, that mascot stays with their division.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be funny. Like, can you imagine, like, the Georgia Tech Blue Jays?
That'd be weird.
They have to change their colors, too. Wow.
Dude, yeah, what?
They have to change their colors.
I mean, you can keep. We have the Navy, but I guess Blue Jays aren't Navy. I don't know.
They're blue.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not Navy Jays.
Okay, you got a question for me?
Yeah. I was wondering, how do you think the Big 12 is going to play out? Because you have Colorado, ASU, Arizona State, BYU, and Iowa State all ranked right now, but they're also all behind one of the byes, so the winner would only get into the playoffs. And how do you think it's going to play out?
I mean, here's my take on it. I say Deion Sanders all the way. I think Colorado, I think that team is going to win the Big 12 just because of Travis Hunter, that threat, and just the way Deion Sanders is coached. I know he's had some backlash on that. I know definitely what he did with cutting those players that were originally on the team wasn't great, and he could have just made them better players instead of just, like, responding harshly to them. But I think what he's done with the program is really good. They have not been this good in a long time. And so I think just watching that team grow has been really fun to watch. I think overall they're just a fun team to watch. They have a really good offense. And just watching Travis Hunter on both sides of the ball is electric. I think that's just really cool to see.
I think that's a lot of fun.
And
he's
so,
a big Heisman candidate, too.
Yeah, he definitely is. Really big threat. And so I think it's just cool to watch that team. And I think they have just done better than any of the other teams. Arizona State has done really good.
I
just don't – if I had to pick a Big 12 championship right now, I would pick Colorado versus Arizona State. But I do think Colorado would beat that Arizona State team. I think Arizona State has been good. BYU is just not a Big 12 championship for me, just by the way they played. And then I think who's the other one? Iowa State?
Iowa State. They're 22.
Yeah, Iowa State. They're 22. I just don't see them getting that playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So I see Colorado playing Arizona State in that Big 12 championship, and I see Colorado winning.
Yeah, that's actually really funny because I'm on the same page as you. I think Colorado is going to win the Big 12 championship. I think Arizona State is going to beat BYU. They actually play Saturday at 3:30.
Yeah.
And that's a big game, and I'm really excited to see that one. But I do think ASU somehow pulls it a win. I mean, we've seen them do it multiple times. BYU losing to 3-6 Kansas really didn't help them. I know sometimes a loss can help a team, but not a team like BYU, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, we really need to see more out of BYU in the future.
100%.
Because BYU just really hasn't shown themselves. I have more confidence in BYU, way more confidence in BYU before they lost to Kansas.
Yeah.
And it's not just because they lost to a 3-6 team, it's because they were unranked. And the unranked thing gives a lot of people respect.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that gets people ranked. That's the thing that gets people inside the top 10. And that's the thing that people really care about. Because I think if Indiana goes out and loses to Ohio State by 20 or more points, they're not going to look good. And that's not going to look good on them. Because
no,
really,
definitely not.
There really hasn't been a hard team that they played this year. And so they really need to be able to prove themselves. Because I think Indiana, if they lose that game, they might not make the playoffs depending on how bad they lose.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really big. But I'm really just not seeing it from BYU. Like I said, Iowa State, I don't think I'm seeing a lot from them either, but I think Colorado has a chance to maybe go all the way. I mean, Colorado has a great offense. Travis Hunter, Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, father and son, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've always really loved that. I've loved Colorado. I'm not glazing them, I promise. But, like, I think they have a chance. They have a great offense. Travis Hunter on offense and defense is great to see. All you got to do is throw it up to the guy, he'll catch it somehow. I mean, I think he has a great future ahead of him in the 100%. NFL.
Definitely.
But I think also they have a chance. If they can get back to the Big 12 championship, they have a chance.
Mm-hmm. One question I would be to you is, do you see Travis Hunter staying in the college football, or do you think he's going to go to the league this year?
I don't know. Yeah. I think he should go. I think this is something we saw with Carson Beck a year ago. If Carson Beck left a year ago, he would have been respected more. And I know he wanted to come back and win a national championship. I know he wanted to come back and win the Heisman. He wanted to have a chance to be first draft pick, but I think Carson Beck would have just been better for leaving last year. Like, he had a chance. I think he should have done it. He could have, but I really do think it would be. I think he should go, because never know how your next year will turn out.
100%.
If you get hurt, you're not gonna have a career.
Mm-hmm.
One more. I mean, it's a lot different for a wide receiver than a QB. They can fall. They can throw the ball away. They get penalties all the time for people hitting them late. And so that's, people already know, like, don't hit the QB late. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the funny part about football is either hit the QB super hard or do not hit them at all. I mean, like, it's either you're going to get flagged 20 yards or you're going to knock the QB out for the rest of the game and win the game. I mean, that's one of the funny parts about football. But I think he should go. Mm-hmm. I really do, because I just don't see why you would stay, especially when you're as good as you can. And one injury brings you out for the year, and the NFL doesn't want you.
Yeah. I would agree. I think, for context for our listeners, Travis Hunter is a junior, so he would have one more year in the league.
Oh, really?
Yes. And so I think he definitely will go to the NFL. I would expect even round one of the draft, I could definitely see that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't think he'd fall to number two just because he's a junior. But I can't wait to see how he does in the league. The next thing we're talking about is our long shot picks. So these are our picks that we think that they could have a small sliver of a chance to get into the playoffs. Whether some teams lose and they win out all their games or something like that. Some of these are surprising, some of these are not as surprising. But yeah, we're just gonna hop right into that.
Yeah, my first team, we just talked about them, Colorado. They, like I said, big offense. They can get the bye, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a chance somehow to get past Boise State and what they have there. I think if they can get past that and get the bye, that'd be big for them. If not, I think it would be okay. They could still make the playoffs, and they still have a chance to go really, really far in the playoffs. And not just first round, not just second round, third round, fourth round.
You got Colorado going on the
list. I think Colorado looks good.
Yeah.
And what they need is something to get them more hyped up. Colorado has been really hyped since Deion Sanders has been here. But a top 10 ranking for Colorado, that would push them further.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to push Travis Hunter further than he already goes. You're trying to keep Travis Hunter out of all the glory you possibly can. Mm-hmm. It was really funny. A week ago, Saturday. He scored a touchdown and hit the Heisman pose. And then Austin JT, the Boise State running back, also hit the same Heisman pose that day. And it was really funny. I was like, look at these people. They have such high egos. So I really think Colorado is definitely going to be my first.
Yeah. My first is going to be Texas A&M, led by freshman Marcel Reed as their quarterback. They're ranked 15. I've been impressed by their defense, and they're a great second-half team. They've had some good comebacks. My worries are they lost to South Carolina really badly. The other thing is they play Auburn this week. Mm-hmm. Well, they're only a 3-point favorite,
right?
If I'm correct, and then they play Texas, which is worrying. But I think somehow, some way, they might be able to beat that Texas team. And so that's why these shots are long. These shots, like we said, are long. So they're long shots. That's kind of how it works. But they're just like our super dog picks that we think could maybe possibly happen with a little glimmer of hope. And so I think what Marcel Reed's done is really good. Being a freshman in the league, he's really put together. Just being able to, like, get to those offense, offensive players. And he's done a really good job at just, like, being able to see the field. And I've been really impressed by just, like, his knowledge of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, you were so close. They are a 2.5 point favorite.
Oh, 2.5 point.
2.5 point favorite. You were half off.
Yeah. So yeah, 2.5 point favorite to Auburn, and then I don't even know what the probability is against Texas, but we'll just have to find
out. They're probably an underdog, which means
definitely
they want an upset.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all underdogs love an upset.
Yep.
And all overdogs don't love an upset. That's how life goes. Life isn't fair.
Okay, Anson, what's your second pick?
Sorry, I get distracted sometimes. Clemson. I mean, we talked about them too. One loss from Miami, and they go into the ACC championship. And I'm not, don't want to dog on any SMU fans, but I don't see it from SMU. Like I said, but I've seen it from Clemson. We've seen it from the Clemson team. And I really do think that if Clemson can have a chance to go in the ACC championship and get a bye first round, because that is, we're looking where the ACC will stay and they'll get a bye. And I do think Clemson has a chance with that. And I think really one loss for Miami, we can see it versus Syracuse. Syracuse has a winning record, 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Clemson has a chance. If Miami can just lose one more game, Clemson can make it into the playoffs, I'm going to say.
Yeah. I definitely see that happening. And I think that could be especially likely as Miami lost to Georgia Tech. They could definitely lose to one of those two teams they're playing. My second pick is going to be another team led by a freshman quarterback, and that's Sam Leavitt.
Ooh.
In the Arizona State. Who's their mascot? Arizona State? Something with a Spartan, something like that.
yeah.
But we got Cam Scatebo, and he has really impressed me. He's a great rushing quarterback along with a great receiving quarterback. If they beat BYU this week, which I think they will, they have a good chance for the Big 12 championship and being into that playoff spot. And I would love to see them going a long way. Their defense is a little rocky, and Arizona State really hasn't proven themselves against bad teams. Oh, they're the Sun Devils. Thank you, Anson.
Yep.
The Arizona State Sun Devils.
Sun Devils.
And so their defense has been a little rocky. They haven't 100% proven themselves against teams that they should have beat badly. They play BYU. I'm excited to watch that game, hoping they win. I think they will. Then they play in a week, they play Arizona, which is their rival, which they should win easily. Arizona is a basketball school after all.
Yeah. That's sort of the funny thing about it. You can see people that are really heavy on one sport, and there are some teams that are good with multiple sports.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen Vanderbilt, definitely more of a
baseball school.
Thank you. Baseball school than football. We've seen more football progressing this year, and then we've seen like Kansas, more of a basketball school. NC North Carolina, more of a basketball school than football, but we have seen football from them in the past. So
yeah.
I think that's sort of the fun thing about school is that they don't always have, sometimes they have more than one like good sport, but sometimes most of the time it's just one good sport.
Yeah, just one.
My third pick is got to be 9-0 Army. I know this is a long shot for a lot of people, but they play Notre Dame, and if they win, they got to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, they play, if they can beat Notre Dame, and then they still have to play Navy, but if they can win those games, then they have to make the playoffs.
I would agree with you.
Especially if you beat Notre Dame. If you beat Notre Dame, this is what's going to put you in the playoffs. I don't think it matters what's going to happen the rest of the season. I mean, sure, if you lose, I don't think a 9-1 Army team is going to make it to the playoffs. But I do think a win versus Notre Dame puts them in the playoffs, and that's really big for this Army team. And I think it's been a lot of fun this year being able to see Army and Navy ranked at the same time.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. But I do think Army does have a chance, and I wouldn't count them out. I think it's going to be a close game. I want to say Army wins that game.
Yeah, that'd be fun to watch. I think what they've done, just seeing an Army team, quite literally, it's just really fun to watch and just see them thrive. Has been really cool. My third pick is going to be the South Carolina Gamecocks, and I know that might sound as a surprise, and they're definitely a long shot. But I think they definitely proved themselves. I've been really impressed by Lenore Sellers and his ability just to be the leader of, and the quarterback of that team. And then Raheem Sanders is a really electric guy. Big guy, but he's their running back, and he is so fast. His ability to just shed tackles and just break through pockets has been really cool to watch. I think he's a big guy. He reminds me of Christian McCaffrey, guys like that, who are really big but have that really good running speed. I honestly wish he would receive more because he'd be a great quarterback. Doesn't really get many receiving yards on that end, but he's a really fast guy and a really big guy. And so I think they definitely have a chance. I think it's small, but they do have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't think their chances are too good, especially with three losses. Am I correct?
I think so.
Okay, we'll say three losses.
Yeah.
I do think that is something that's going to be hard, especially in the SEC. They do need you're going to need more. Yeah, it was three losses. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely three losses. I don't think you make it, but it is a good pick. I do think they have potential for everyone. Beating Texas A&M, that mm-hmm. was big for them. Games like that, they had a really close game versus Alabama. And just stuff like that, being able to boost them ahead. My fourth one out of five would be SMU. Mm-hmm. And I do think we've already talked about this a little bit, so I don't have too much to comment on them, but I really do think a lot of people could be underestimating SMU. I'm not saying we are. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I am. I don't really see a lot. I haven't seen too much out of them. But I really do think SMU could surprise us. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not ready for that. Take that back. I'm not ready for SMU to surprise us. And that's the surprising part about it. Is that the teams you're not ready to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they could, if they get something going really hype, they have a chance.
Oh, definitely.
And definitely because I think they're locked into the ACC championship. Mm-hmm. So they definitely have a chance to get a first-round bye because, like I said in the past, ACC should get a first-round bye.
100%. And my last team is going to be UNLV. And I know you're probably thinking, wow, you are crazy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're crazy. What are you talking about?
Here
I was just thinking that.
Is what happens. UNLV is the second team in, what is it? The Mountain...
They're in the Mountain West.
They're in the Mountain West.
They're the second team.
They're the second team in the Mountain West Conference.
Are they ranked?
They are ranked number 24.
Actually.
Yes. So UNLV, if no Big 12 team surpasses that Boise State team, this could be an opportunity for UNLV to beat Boise State in that playoff for the Mountain West Conference, and they could get the first round bye. And that would be absolutely crazy, seeing a number 24 team going and getting that bye and being in the playoffs, especially the team like UNLV. I think what they've done is good, but I just, you know, don't think that they're a playoff contender at all. But if they could get into that playoff, that would just be crazy. Do I see it happening? Probably not, but it'd be crazy if it happened, and so I'm kind of rooting for it.
Yeah, I definitely, that's very interesting. I definitely could see that happening, and I do think that that's actually really cool. My fifth and last pick, for a long shot, and it's not actually a team. It's actually the loser of the SEC championship.
That makes
sense. And I think Texas is going to win this SEC championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think with every other team in the conference with two losses, that loser has a chance because they can argue that they went and lost to a top four team or a top three, depending on where Texas is. They are in the top four, actually in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the top three and four. I mean, I do think they have a chance for both. They have a chance for, Texas has a chance for the future for, like, just being able to go more into the playoffs. But I think the loser of the SEC championship, it might be doom. It might be luck. Even if you lose that game, it might look better. Like, if someone like Tennessee were somehow to be able to get into that SEC championship and they lost it, it actually makes them look better than they did before. That might help them. And I do think... that's sort of big.
Yeah, I think that could be a hurt or a help.
Okay, so I have one last question before we get into some of the fun.
Okay.
Let's just say, theoretically, 12, 13, and 14 is Alabama, Ole Miss, and Tennessee.
Okay.
Which one, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Tennessee, which one is in 12, which one's in 13, which one's in 14?
Okay, I would put Ole Miss in 12. Tennessee in 13, Alabama in 14, and that might surprise some people.
Why would you say that?
I think just because I think Ole Miss has been a better team than Tennessee and Alabama, and then just because Tennessee beat Alabama and they have the same record.
I actually agree with the same thing, but mine's actually for a different reason. Ole Miss, I think they're definitely in. They've also, I just think that they've proven themselves with their offense. I think Tennessee is at 50-50. They can lean either way depending on how the rest of their year plays out. They just have to play Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And then I think Alabama does get out at 14 just because of the SEC championship loss. I think they're going to go in. And I do think, like I said, this could be a super dog pick. It could be a long shot. that they make it in, but it's called a long shot for a reason. I think the loser that loses to Texas, I do think they're going to lose to Texas, like I said. I just think that they're not going to be able to make it. I just don't think you put a three-loss team. I don't care if they're in the SEC, Big Ten, any big conference like that. Yeah. I just don't think it matters.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think that makes a really good point of, like, if Alabama does get into that SEC or anybody gets into that SEC championship, losing might put them at more jeopardy than not being in the championship at all. And that's kind of surprising, kind of a weird element that comes along with this 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we have one last thing.
All right, yeah. We're going to get into something fun. We're going to do this every week. We're going to do game day picks. Pretty much when we go through, pick 10 teams from some of the games this week. Or we're just going to go through and make our picks for them and say why we think of them.
Just like a game day. We're like game day junior.
I know. They call us game day junior. No one's called us that yet. But they will. They will in the future.
They will call us that.
One day. All right. Now, game number one. Colorado versus Kansas.
For me, I have Colorado. I think, just like we talked about, strong offense, really strong team overall, Colorado's going to win that game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Travis Hunter still trying to go. Better check it on the Heisman post for me. Do it for me. But I do think Kansas, coming off a big win versus BYU, will have a good day. I just don't think they can stop Colorado.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Ole Miss, Florida, number two.
I got, like we talked about, Florida, maybe a little bit of a scrappy team, beat LSU, coming off a win. I still think it's Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss, just that offense led by Jackson Dart has been really good. I think they're just going to beat out Florida. I don't think Florida has the defense to be able to stop that Ole Miss offense.
I agree with you there. Ole Miss, all the way. I don't got too much to say about that. Florida, hardest schedule in one of the hardest schedules, if not the hardest, in the FBS. And I do think maybe they're not going to be able to keep it up. But DJ Lagway, the QB for Florida, should do a great job. But Jackson Dart, just going to do better.
Yeah.
Army, Notre Dame, both two ranked teams, and Army 9-0, trying to fight, keep their playoff hopes alive.
So I've been really impressed by Army's defense. I don't think that they're going to be able to stop Notre Dame, but I do think it's going to be a good game. I think some people are expecting a blowout and just saying, oh yeah, Army's 9-0, but they've played bad teams, that's why they're ranked. I think it's going to be a better team, or better game, sorry, than people realize, than people think, that it's going to be, because I think just Army hasn't gotten a chance to prove themselves, so I think their defense is going to go out there and try their best. I do think that they will lose that game, but not by as much as people are thinking.
Yeah, I agree with that. I got to say, I picked Army as a long shot pick, and why not stick with Army? I think Army somehow pulls up an upset on Notre Dame. I think this is going to be a really good game. Army has high stakes right now.
Really?
This is one of Army's best seasons ever. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of hype right now. I think that they can go and beat Notre Dame. Like you said it earlier, Notre Dame hasn't shown that much.
That is true.
Notre Dame hasn't been the best team. They struggled early in the season with a loss to Northern Illinois, with a loss almost to Bowling Green. They struggled with easy teams this year, and I would argue Army's better than both of those teams. And I think Army has a chance. I really do.
Yeah, I could do that.
All right, number four is BYU-Arizona State. This game will be at 3:30. It's a big game for the Big 12 people, Big 12 fans, really the country of college football, because this could decide who gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. We've already discussed this a lot. I think we're both in agreement on Arizona State. I think they've just proven what they can do better. I think BYU coming off a loss, it's just going to be kind of down in the dumps. They do have something to prove, but I don't think they're going to be able to prove it, if that makes sense. I think Arizona State just is going to do better. I think, personally, Cam Scatabo is just going to run all over that defense, and I think they're just going to pull up with the win.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, Sun Devils all the way. Don't think BYU is going to be able to see what we've seen in the past, but I really do hope Arizona State is being able to mix up the playoffs a little bit.
Yeah.
BYU was sort of pulling away from it. No one thought anyone was going to catch BYU.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Texas-Kentucky, I don't think we're going to agree on this much, but it is an SEC matchup, and we've seen I do think we are going to agree on this, but yeah. We've seen a matchup. You were Texas. I'm with Texas. Is that correct?
Yeah, not much of a matchup here. I think Texas is going to blow them out of the water. I think Kentucky is a fighting team. I think they're at least going to get a touchdown, but I don't think I think it's just kind of a game where Texas is just going to display their skills and see what they can do.
Yeah, we picked this game because we've seen Brock Vandegrift for Kentucky in the past, and they've had some big games, beating Ole Miss, putting a really good fight versus Georgia. So we know they can do it again, especially in the SEC.
Yeah.
Number six is Louisville versus Pitt, two unranked teams, but two people that have winning records, and we've seen both be ranked this year.
Both were pretty
good. Both have really good games, just in general. So what do you think?
Me personally, I have Louisville. I think just the games in the past couple of weeks that Pitt has played, losing those games and becoming unranked. I mean, I know Louisville has done it too, but I think Louisville has just proved themselves a little more to me. I see that offensive side of Louisville, and that just kind of excites me. I think they might be able to just do a little better than Pitt can do on the offensive side. I think Pitt does have a little bit of a better defense than Louisville, but I think in this game, it's probably going to be a high-scoring game. And I think that Louisville might just pull out on top.
Yeah, I'm just going to take Pitt for this one. I think as the underdogs, they had a really close loss versus Clemson last week. So I really do think that they're progressing. We've seen a lot more of them in the past few years than we have in the past. And I do think that they're able to pull a win here in you versus Louisville.
Sounds good. I guess we'll just have to watch that game.
Yeah, I know. It's always, I love Saturdays. Saturdays is just such a good game. You always have good games like Louisville, Pitt, Colorado, Kansas, Ole Miss, Florida. Army Notre Dame, BYU, Arizona State, just stuff like that.
I just can't wait to see them.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see them. I don't know exactly what time they play, but I'm really excited to see them play if they're not playing at the same time as somebody else I would want to watch. But they're not going to be my top game to watch, but I would encourage people to watch them. That would be a close game. They're both very even in the ACC. None of them will have a chance to make the playoffs most likely, but I would encourage people to watch that.
Definitely. Number seven, game number seven that we'll be picking, is SMU versus Virginia. Me personally, I have SMU. I haven't seen Virginia prove themselves. Like I've seen in the past, Virginia is always a decent team, but I think they've gone a little under that recently. I think SMU definitely been able to prove themselves against teams that we didn't think they'd be able to beat at all. I did not expect SMU to be as good as they are, but I think they've definitely proven themselves where I'm confident in a pick in SMU.
Yeah, I agree with that. Don't have much to say here. Already talked a lot about SMU, but I think SMU wins. Number eight, the Texas A&M Aggies versus the versus Auburn.
This is going to be a close game, like I said. Texas A&M only predicted to win by 2.5 points, is that correct?
Two and a half.
And so I think it's going to be a close game. I do have Texas A&M winning just because I'm more confident in their offense. But I think it's definitely going to be a close game, a really good game to watch. Texas A&M really needs to win that game in order to keep that spot. In hopes that maybe they'll shift up into that playoff picture. But it's just like looking at that Texas A&M team, I think they're just a little better than Auburn.
Yeah, I agree that I'm a Texas A&M. The only thing I'm concerned about for Texas A&M is them looking too far ahead of the Texas game.
Yeah.
Because they're too confident about this one and they get carried away. And especially in an SEC matchup, and this can happen a lot. Number eight, you have Iowa State, Utah.
I see Utah winning this game. And a lot of people disagree with me on this because Utah has been big into performers. But I think this is Utah's bounce-back game. I think going to play a really low-ranked team inside of the top 25, I think they're really going to come with fire in them and try to win this game because they know this is a team, this is a ranked team they can beat and kind of just bounce back and prove themselves, which they haven't been able to do all year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I got Iowa State. I think they know what's at stake right now. Trying just a Big Ten if they still want to keep it in. And all it takes is a loss from Colorado, a loss from Arizona State, and they're in it.
Yeah.
And so they have a chance to get the first one by. I want to say just a really sweet story about an Iowa State fan about wore Darth Vader suit for Blackout to the game, and it was really sweet. His son died in a car crash a few months ago, and they watched Star Wars while he was dying because that's what they both loved, and it was really, really sad story. I always encourage people to find that because it was really encouraging. It was really sad though.
Yeah, it was really touching. They highlighted it on game day, and it just like, I know it's nothing that the Iowa State team did, but it just really made me love that Iowa State team a little bit more. Just a truly touching story.
Yeah, his dad said that the three things he loved were Halloween, the Iowa State Cyclones, and Star Wars, and that's what he was every Halloween. He was Anakin. And I think that was a really sweet story.
Yeah, truly touching.
All right, and our very last pick, where game day is, Indiana, Ohio State.
Boy, am I excited to see this game. I think Indiana needs to prove themselves, and I think they will go out there and prove themselves this weekend. I think what they're going to do is just prove themselves. I want to see this Indiana Hoosier offense go off, and I think they can. I think they definitely will and can. They're playing Ohio State, number two. It's going to be a really close game. I can already tell you that. I don't think either team is going to really run away with it because both really good teams, both in the top five. But I think Ohio State is going to be looking, like you said, Texas A&M could do, and just get tunnel vision, just see playoff, playoff, playoff. And I think they could underestimate that number five, Indiana. And so I think Indiana is going to go in and win that game.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. I'm actually surprised people if you agree on this because Ohio State is about, I think, a 10-point favorite, I believe, according to ESPN. But I think Indiana wins. I do think that they have done a great job this year, and I think that they're ready for this game. They've been looking for something like this forever, and then they actually have a chance to prove themselves. And they have a chance to prove themselves versus number two Ohio State, who has a new quarterback coming over from Kansas State. He has a lot of practice this year and during the offseason. But still, I mean, we definitely need to be able to see a big, big standard from Iowa State. And I do think I'm still sort of going to disagree on you. I think Ohio State, they are looking to the playoffs, but they're also paying a lot of attention to this game. And this game is very, very big for them because they know a two-loss Ohio State team might not make it.
That is true.
I mean, I think they do have a chance, but them losing, I mean, okay, I do think a two-loss Ohio State team that loses to Indiana and Oregon, two top five teams, would obviously still make the playoffs over, like, a Tennessee team or Ole Miss team, but I do think this is really big for them.
Yeah, that is true. Well, we hope you're as excited as we are to watch all these games tomorrow and just really see how this plays out. We hope that you've enjoyed your time listening to just our opinions and what we think is all going to happen in the playoffs. Like I said, we really appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Peace.